Hello, I'm Josie Bauer and welcome back to Unboxing Dance, a podcast that provides a platform of reflection and appreciation for Black artists in the current British dance industry. We'll be getting a deeper insight into the creative processes and self-discoveries of some extremely well-known choreographers and performers of African and Caribbean heritage. This is a space for them to educate and inspire through the means of their personal creativity and expression. In this second episode, I had an inspiring chat with Baron Tavaziva, founder of Tavaziva Dance Company. Having come over to the UK at a young age from Zimbabwe, Baron prioritises representing his heritage and personal life experiences through the means of creating work, as well as finding out about the fusion of African and contemporary techniques that he uses within his pieces. We talk about the inspirations and hopefully expansion of Tavaziva dance.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good, thank you.
So talking of, obviously, COVID, sad time, how has it been adjusting to like online formats with the company, and you know, has it opened up any new opportunities for you, or how's it going? I'm sure it's been really difficult.
It's been really difficult, and it's very different. Yeah, I found it very difficult to work with computers in terms of Zoom classes and all these things. It's totally different from teaching in real life. So now I'm starting to get used to it, which is good. But it's been really tough, and we had to cancel some of our tour just because of the COVID. And it's quite frustrating to not be able to get into the studio as well because of COVID. And but it has been an advantage, not an advantage, but there are good things that happened, that I got time to work on my music, and enough time to work on my music. So that's been a positive as well.
Yeah, every cloud, I suppose. Every cloud is silver lining. So I wanted to get straight into it, really, because I don't have a paid for Zoom account. We are limited time. I know that it's going to start ticking down the time. So I'll get straight into it. I just want to know a bit more about your past and how it's influenced you as a dance artist in the UK today. If it's a solid source of inspiration for you, or I just want to know a bit more.
I am originally from Zimbabwe, and I grew up in a society where dance is a big thing, like dance and music, and you know, this kind of things. That in that environment, it's our culture, and most of the dances we do are very much like the storytelling, and they usually have a purpose for them to be, to be there. So I can see myself today doing the same thing. Like every work I do, it has to have a reason for it. It has a purpose for it. So it's all from my upbringing, and the energy as well is always part of my African history.
Amazing. So would you say that say if you were to create a work, would it be, do you focus on the work having a narrative and a story, or do you put a bit more time and interest into making sure like specific moves mean different things, or is it a combination of the two, do you think?
It's a combination of the two. Like sometimes I can do a really abstract work, but there is a story there, and you can still it's very clear, the story itself.
Yeah. Does it help you? Do you have in your creative process, do you have a story before you have movement, or do you try and feed the movement into an existing story?
Yes. What usually happens is a topic that inspires me gets me to make a piece of work. So it's usually from what interests me, what inspires me. Otherwise, if I just create a piece of work without any reason for it, I don't even trust it. I don't even trust the work, so I don't expect the audience to be moved by it, or to understand it if I don't understand it myself.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure it's the same for the dancers as well, like to have a clear intention behind the movement and the piece that they can get engrossed in the story and the narrative and all of that. That's really interesting. Going into your works a bit more, I know, correct me if I'm wrong with the pronunciation, but Boyskaya, your
Boyskaya,
your current piece, obviously fine if you're not allowed to disclose too much information about it. So you could talk about a different work if you wanted to. But I just wanted to know a bit more about you being a choreographer and a composer for your work. So you said because of COVID, you had more time to work on your music and everything. Like, I just want to know how that is as a process. And do you find it like the work to be sometimes overloading, or do you think they help each other, the fact that you work with both at the same time, like yourself?
I think it's music and dance are one thing, and I really get inspired if I'm in the recording studio and creating a piece of music that I think would be great in the studio, to be dancing in the studio. And at the same time as well, if I create a piece of like a section, a choreography section, and I look forward to go and make that music for that piece. So it balances off each other. So it's not really overwhelming. It's actually an advantage.
Yeah. Is there like a work in specific that you could go a bit more in depth with, like maybe a past work or something? Like, so.
I can speak about Boyskaya. Boyskaya is a little house behind a white man's house. So a Boyskaya, so all the servants live in there, behind that house where they are working at. Like I can give an example. My mother and my dad, they used to work for a white family back home in Zimbabwe. So I used to live with my mom and my dad at work. So what usually happens is they used to leave me in that little house, which is called the Boyskaya. And they will go to work from 9 o'clock till coming back till 10 o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah. So I used to be locked in that little room. So it was pretty much a prison, and I wasn't allowed to come out and play with the kids of my age, with the white kids of my age. So it was segregation or racist. It was very racist. So so it starts from there. So for me to start the story from there, I have to for me to broaden up the story, I have to go back to what I really feel in my heart, if it makes sense. So on a bigger picture, it's how the West see Africa itself. Like, I can give an example of what Donald Trump says: Africa is a shithole. You know, and so it's very clear that my parents used to work for that family, they thought of the same thing as well about the little house, the Boyskaya, because it was never maintained, and it was just like I said to somebody, not even a dog could live in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what the Boyskaya is.
Yeah. So with the creation of the piece, I'm sure you had to like go back to times that like didn't fill you with positive memories, let's say. Like, you had to really go back to your like personal bank at the back of your mind. So when it came to the music and like in relation to the movement, how did you get in touch with that, and how did you make sure the music carried the same intention that the movement did?
Right now we're still in the making of it, or they are the R&D with it. So it's really going well. And I don't know, I just sit down and start creating music, and maybe I'm really channeled already within the storyline of it, and then the music is easily coming out, if it makes sense. So I'm already in that channel.
Yeah. With this piece, out of curiosity, because this is like a personal experience from your childhood that you're relating back to. Do you usually use personal experiences for like a stimulus for your work, or do you look at like broader senses and you take other people?
This one is a much of a broader sense. So I started from a little place that I really know, and then develop it to a bigger place so that I really know what I'm talking about. And I'm really saying it from the heart, if it makes sense.
Does it? Do you do that with other works that you do as well? Do you start with a personal thing that you know, and then do you expand it? Is that what you usually do?
Yeah, yeah. I believe that to be making work that you believe in, you have to know what you're talking about. You know, in that sense. And then it can just start developing into other works and other pieces, but it has got a strong roots.
Yeah, it's really nice. Like, and then you, I guess, because you've used a personal memory, you have an attachment to your work, which must feel really nice as a choreographer.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
you can see your life presented on a stage or in a studio or whatever, and it must be really special to see like amazing like technical dancers like execute that, because it's your life. Like, it must be really exciting. And do you? So I kind of already asked it, but would you say that your heritage is a solid source of inspiration for your work? Like, is that what you usually go back to for most pieces?
Yes. And I'm one of those people, I'll never lose my heritage. Yeah.
Like, that's so lovely though. Like, it's there. I was talking when I did my previous episode with the Elaine twins. We were talking about like how amazing the human is, and I think sometimes as dancers we get so distracted by external inspiration, like we're always looking for something, but we have so much. And you're proving that, like, you have so many little stories that you can start off, like, even if it's a small memory, you can start something small and expand it. Like, we're very complex
because the world is still the same, nothing has changed yet.
Exactly. The world's always changing.
Amazing. Just wanted to cover quickly about the future of the dance industry. So, like, this could link back to you coming over from Zimbabwe. Like, if there was another little boy from Zimbabwe who is coming over to the UK into the dance industry, like, how would you feel? What do you hope for say that little boy, or what do you hope to contribute to the future of the dance industry or the future of your career in the dance industry?
Yeah, for me, I like the fact that you say coming from Zimbabwe to England. And for me to be able to do that, it's the people who really helped me in my training in classical ballet, contemporary dance. And they really put so much effort in me. And I think it's my turn now to give it back, to educate the students here or the little kids here in England. So it's an amazing feeling to give back, to teach, to pass it forward.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know, you would have had people do it to you. So it's nice that it just keeps going. So you hope to contribute to, like, you just want to give back. That's what you want to do.
I want to give back.
Yeah, well, that's so nice. I think, like, that is very much how the dance industry works, I guess. Like, people are always passing their knowledge through. What would you hope, say, for you personally, is like a goal in the near future for your artistic development? Like, what have you got in store? What do you hope to happen for yourself?
What I hope to happen is to have a home, like as Tawaziva Dance, to have its own home whereby we can have the enough time and freedom to do more education, and for the company as well to have more time in the studio practicing our art. So that's my goal, to be so whereby there is a Tawaziva Studios.
That'd be nice. Are you at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, I might have felt like I read this somewhere, but are you in London, Battersea, is that correct?
Yes, Battersea, yes.
So you've got an external building that you hire out, and it's not your own, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not our own. We do have office there, and we have a studio in the same building, which is great.
Okay. I wanted to, kind of backtracking a little bit, talk about like the fusion of styles. Like, obviously you combine African and contemporary, and I think, well, personally as a dancer, I think versatility is so important, and I wanted to know, like, how fusing the African and contemporary together, like, what does it open up in your creative process, and like, how does it help you say select dancers for your company, or, you know, I want to hear a bit more about it.
So as for me, like I trained in African dance back home. No, I didn't train in African dance. I'm an African dancer. And I've always been keen on learning different styles of dance. Like we used to watch TV, watching hip hop, what's called it, New Edition, the Michael Jackson. So that was my inspiration. So there is a bit of jazz in it, like jazz dancing in there. So I've always wanted to do that. And then, I came across new styles of dance, like contemporary dance, classical ballet, and all these styles. So I was inspired to take part in it. And yes, I decided that, you know, if I fuse it, what happens? And along the way as well, I'm lucky that I've met choreographers who were fusing their work. So, yeah, that's when I decided to start fusing my work and to be more versatile. In these day and age, there is the dancers have to be versatile, not just one style of dance. And, you know, because most companies now, they're becoming more fusion.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely, I would say we're definitely, as a current third year student, we're pushed to say that versatility is important, but it's quite hard in the current curriculum to feel like you're versatile. Like I feel like like for me, I have to do external classes to feel like a versatile artist, which like is really helpful. I guess, again, like we were saying, like something that good that's come out of lockdown, like we've been able to, like I've been able to do your open classes, or like I've been able to do, yes, you know, like, so then in a sense you feel more versatile even though I'm not at the studio the way I'm at every day. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it is important. I do wish it was more accessible. For higher education, I think that should be a next step, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Even there is not much African dance classes. I mean, like,
no, I did. I did a foundation degree with Irie Dance Theatre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had a year of doing African Caribbean, and I'm really grateful for that actually, because I'm in Southeast London. They're just down the road still, so they have open classes and online classes and stuff, and that. I haven't researched too much, but I think around the area is probably one of the best places. So if anyone's listening that's in Southeast London, they can get themselves down there. But it's so nice. Like what I enjoyed, which like I'm sure you'd be able to add on to about, say, African classes, like we learnt about specific tribes and specific rituals, and every dance that we did meant something different, like you were saying with your work.
Yeah.
Like there's always a really strong intention which helps everything have so much more meaning, and your execution of it ends up being so much more powerful, and like from in the heart.
Dancing from the heart, creating from the heart. I mean, not everybody does it, but it's just having to have that solid understanding of, you know, or the reason why you're creating this work. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, that we were quick. We were quick. Let me just see how long we. Yeah, 18 minutes. That's fine. I'd like every single episode is so varied because people talk about different things.
Okay.
But like thanks so much for helping me with this. It's a massive pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'll let you know when everything's done, and I'll send it to Heather possibly before I like publish it out, so because it should be done before everything's due. But it's been really lovely talking to you and hearing more about your life, and I can't wait to show you the finished product.
Yeah, thank you.
It was so lovely for Bowen to share his personal life experiences and information about his heritage from talking about his work today. That was episode 2. Make sure you follow Tafasiva Dance on social media in order to find out about all these online classes that are happening, in order to support the company. COVID-19 and the pandemic are really testing the arts, as we know, so make sure you can support when and where you can. So yeah, that concludes the episode. Make sure you can check out the other 3 episodes when you can. A massive thank you to Connor Hughes for the music, and thank you all for listening. See you next time.